Take your Bibles, please. Turn with us to the 13th chapter of Matthew. Please stand in reverence to the reading of God's Word. I'm going to read verse number 7 and also verse number 22. And some fell among the thorns, and the thorns sprung up and choked them. Verse 22. He also that receiveth seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word, and the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becometh unfruitful. Let us pray. Father, once again, I want to thank you for the precious Bible, the Word of God. I thank you so much, Lord, for giving us your Word and retaining it, Lord, as you have, that we know it's your Word, it's right, it's perfect, and I thank you so much for that. And once again today, as we stand to preach, this preacher needs your power, I need your wisdom. And Father, above all, I do want to lift your name up and honor you this day. And I pray, Father, that the message you've given me, Lord, will be able to go into all of our hearts and do the work that you've intended for it to do. And Lord, when all is said and done, we're going to thank and praise you for it. Should there be one here today that's not saved, they don't know Christ as their Savior, oh Father, I pray that this will be the day that they're born again into your family. And I just pray the perfect will of God be done. We'll all be attentive. Listen very carefully as we preach this morning, and we'll thank you in Jesus' wonderful name. Amen. You may be seated. The last two Sundays we have preached from this parable of the sower. We're going to continue that today. If you remember, if you was here, you remember we stressed the fact that we found out in the book of Luke what the seed meant, what it was. The seed, of course, was the Word of God. The Bible's very specific about that. The seed that was being sowed is the Word of God. And then we also saw that the soil in which the Word of God fell on was also the heart of man. That's what it meant. And then we found also that the sower was those who were sowing the seed. Whether that, of course, the great sower was the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who came and sowed the seed, him being even the seed, the Word of God. And then we take the seed, the Word of God, and we sow it. And when he talks about the sower, he's talking about those who are sowing the Word of God. Over in Haggai, it's very interesting because a question is asked. Is the seed yet in the barn? I think that you farmers here today would know that if you're going to get any crop this fall, the seed can't remain in the barn. They take it out. I don't know, Brother Jack, how you've got it set up over there, but I'm sure there's some kind of building that you might call a barn or a shed or whatever where the seed is stored until it's used. It'll never do you any good until you get it out of the barn and into the ground. And that's one of the principles of the Word of God, because the question was asked there, is the seed yet in the barn? Is it yet in the barn? And so we know that the seed, the Word of God, cannot do the work it needs to do unless it gets sown. I think that's just a scriptural principle. We know it has to be sown. And so we find that some of it, and we found out in the very first sermon I preached where the seed fell by the wayside, the seed was sowed. And let me say again, it was not the sower or was not the seed, but it was the soil in which it was sowed upon. The seed was hard and packed down. It was like a roadway, and it could not penetrate. It could not take root. We found also last week that we talked about the stony ground, and that ground was stony, had stone underneath it, and maybe just a little bit of soil on top of it, and it sprung up, and of course it had no root, the Bible says, and it withered away. The sun come up and scorched the little plant that come up, no root on it, and it's withered away. And remember that in each situation, the soil is talking about the heart. The old hard wayside, the old hard heart that just will not hear, just will not listen. And then there's that stony heart that seems like for just a short period of time that it is listening but won't do anything because it has no root. And it says, the Bible even says, because of persecution of the word, it withers away. It's gone. The sun comes up and scorches. We've all seen all types of these kinds of soil. What God is trying to tell us in the Word of God here is not breaking it down into percentages, that it's going to be 25% of this and 25% and 25%, 25%, four different. No, he's telling us that there's four different types of soil that the Word of God can fall on. And so we've covered two of those, and then today we're going to cover concerning fallen amongst the thorns. Now remember this, in the scripture, in this parable, he's concerned about how the Word of God is received. You've got to understand that. You've got to get that in your mind. It's how the Word of God is received. It's not the sower that didn't sow it correctly. He sowed it. It's not the seed itself. Seed's not the problem. The problem is the Word of God, and there's no problem with the Word of God. It's perfect. The problem is the soil in how it received the Word of God. I've been preaching for 33 years. I have an understanding of all four of these types of soil, because the last soil is fall on good ground. And it took root and it produced fruit. None of the first three produce any fruit whatsoever. None. The last one produces fruit, some 30, some 60, some 100%. But we want to talk about this morning the thorny ground, the thorny ground, the condition of the soil. And let me say to you, there's a great need, first of all, before we get into this, there's a great need of getting the seed sowed. If it's in the barn, it doesn't do anybody any good. Pastor Ross is a little bit concerned about some of his Bible students coming home from Bible college. They don't seem to see no need of going on visitation, soul winning time. I wonder if their colleges would like to know that. I might just give a call. Is that what they do at Bible college? Come home from Bible college, you get busy. Be part of the visitation program, soul winning program. Amen. You above all ought to be there. Amen. Amen. We all say amen, don't we? Amen. We say amen. We support these, don't we? Yes. Amen. So, you know, here's how you do things. I'll just give you a demonstration. You got a little calendar here in your pocket. And you go through every Saturday or Wednesday, whichever your visitation time. Wednesday is when we go out on youth visitation. And Pastor Jerry takes care of that, leads our group on youth visitation. And Saturday morning at 9:15, we go out on adults, soul winning time. Some of the young people come during those times too. But you got your calendar. And when it says Saturday, 9:15, someone says, "Can you do something for me on Saturday?" You look at your calendar and you say, "Nope, got soul winning." It's that simple. No, it's Wednesday. Nope, 3:30, can't do it. It's soul winning time. That's the way you do it. See, other priorities don't get ahead of soul winning. That's the way adults are supposed to do this thing too. Vacation Bible school. Sorry, can't do anything extra. It's vacation Bible school time. I'm sorry, I looked at my calendar and I'm all booked up. Wednesday night services. I'm sorry, I'm all booked up Wednesday night. I'm sorry, I'm all booked up Sunday morning, Sunday night. That's what you do. That's the way Christians do. Amen? Sure, that's the way we do it. Seed has to get out of the barn. It gets to be sowed. Whether that's where it falls, we cannot always help that. God never intended for us to. He doesn't hold us accountable for that. But he holds us accountable for sowing it. Okay? And getting it out there. So we look at the soil condition. The condition of the soil, and what it had was thorns. The word thorns mean bramble bushes and briars. I don't know if any, and I'm sure many of you have, but all of my life, ever since I've been a little boy, I've picked blackberries and raspberries, wild blackberries and wild raspberries. I've done that all of my life. And at that time of a year, usually I come in with scratches just all over me. I try to wear a longer sleeve, but boy, it's hard to pick those wild ones without being scratched. You know what briars are. You know all about that. Well, he's talking about here the thorns. he says. And these thorns were already there when the word of God was sowed. Listen to me in verse number 7 of chapter 13. And some fell among the thorns, and the thorns sprung up and choked them. Let me say to you, the thorns were already there. God used that back in the book of Genesis, the third chapter, the 18th verse. He said, thorns and also thistles shall it bring forth to them. In other words, the ground will have the thorns and the thistles. God put them there. In the heart of man, before we're saved, the thorns and the thistles are already present. They're there. And they're the ones that sprung up. You see, the soil must be prepared. Weeds must be removed. Sometimes I think our farmers, they do a lot of spraying. They spray so that you go down, and I know some of that no-till stuff, and I don't know a whole lot about all that thing, but I know that you'll go down the road and you'll see this field out here, and it's all dead. They've come in and they've sprayed it, and then I think a lot of times they use no-till then, but they've sprayed to get rid of the weeds. Why? Because if they don't, the weeds are just going to overtake the field. That's why years ago we done more cultivating than we did spraying. And when you would you get the things planted and weeds would start to grow up, you'd go out and you'd cultivate. Why? To get rid of the weeds. So the thorns or so the weeds can not overtake the seed. That's just simple. That's just plain. Amen. So God is using that illustration. You see, this soil was already infiltrated with thorns. It was already there. When I got saved back in 1966, let me guarantee you something. The thorns were already there in my heart. They was there. And they was already sowed, the cares of this world. And that's what he's talking about. And we'll get with that in a little while. But cares and the riches, deceitfulness of riches and the pleasures of this life. Those things were there already there. And if you don't do something to get rid of them, they're going to spring up. And they're going to choke out the word of God. Now, what happened to this seed was that it was choked by the thorns. Let me say something to you. It'll grow faster. Weeds always grow faster than the vegetables grow. They just shoot up. I remember here about 3 years ago when Tom Miller came down, one of my neighbors came down to plow our garden down there, and he sunk his plow in there, and he had a furrow plow, and he sunk it in the ground, went down to the other end, and didn't pull up just quite soon enough, and it drug along the ground some. It didn't make a bit of difference, but anyway, so he got my garden plow. But later on, which that part I didn't use, where it'd been turned over, I noticed that that part he had turned over, the ragweeds is everywhere, and I didn't have ragweeds before. I mean, were there by the hundreds? I would almost want to say the thousands. There was seed laying under there, dormant. And when he turned that over, and of course I didn't come along and till it up or anything, you know, because I wasn't going to use that part. And those ragweeds were just everywhere. And let me say something, they're still there. Yeah, in that part, they're still coming up every year. I'm trying to spray them, get rid of them, things like that. But I mean by the thousands of ragweeds. Let me say something to you folks. So as soon as a little soil starts getting stirred up, I want to tell you the thorns are going to just spring up, and they'll grow faster than the seed of the word of God will grow. It takes time. Did you know it takes time for the seed to grow? It has to be nurtured and taken care of. That's why I want you to be patient with new Christians. It takes time. It takes patience. It takes understanding. Help them to grow. Don't destroy them. Amen. It takes time. You see. But what happened was these old weeds, these old thorns just grew up. You know, God says over in Jeremiah, the 17th chapter, the verse number 9, the heart is deceitful above all things, he said, and desperately wicked. And he asked the question, who can know it? That's the heart. You see, you and I sometimes don't want to look at our heart and say that's the kind of heart we had. But that's what God says. God said, our old heart is deceitful. It's wicked, you see. Until Christ comes in, we've got a real problem. I found it out today that this is one of the hardest things to get over to people, is the fact that they have a wicked heart. People don't want to look at themselves like they're sinners. Nothing wrong with me. No. Oh, but yes, there is. There's something wrong with all of us. Amen. And we need to have an understanding of that so we can come to Christ. We see our need of Jesus Christ to wash us and cleanse us, you see. Now, over in the book of Matthew, if you're in chapter 13, go to chapter 15 just for a moment. Chapter 15, verse number 7 and 8. I just want to show you something about the heart. Matthew 15, verse 7 and verse 8. Jesus said, "Ye hypocrites, well did Isaiah prophesy of you, saying, This people draweth nigh unto me with their mouth, and honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me." Now, in a moment, we'll read a couple more verses of Scripture, but notice what he says. He said, they draw nigh to him with their mouth, and with their lips they show honor to the Lord, but their hearts aren't right with God. Their hearts are far from him. Now, look down in verse number 18 and verse number 19. But those things which proceed out of the mouth come forth from the heart, and they defile the man. For out of the heart proceedeth evil thoughts, and murders, and adulteries, and fornication, and thefts, and false witnesses, and blasphemies. These are the things which defile a man. You see, God says those are the things that come from a heart, a wicked heart. Whether we understand it or not, our hearts are desperately wicked, God says. Boy, we ought to have the whole congregation saying, "Amen, Brother Ross, that's good preaching." Because it's true preaching. Our hearts are wicked without Christ. Until Christ comes in, only then can we be anything for him. We need him. Amen. So we find that that's the condition of the heart. Folks, whether you understand it or not, thorns always want to take over. You've got to be careful. The thorns, the cares of the world, the riches and the pleasures of life can overtake a church. Oh, yes, they can. They can overtake a church. They can become more important to the church than the Word of God. And the seed of the Word of God must always have preeminence. It must always have preeminence. And that's what's happening in America a lot, in our liberalism and all those things that's going on in the churches across this land, is because the cares of this world, the riches, the deceitfulness of riches, and the pleasures of life have taken over even in the church. The church wants to spend more time on the pleasures of life and the riches and the cares than they do want to on the sowing of the seed of the Word of God. You see, and that's where churches, that's what happens when the church then get into liberalism. They fall back and they get away from the true meaning of a church and what its purpose is. But the Bible says that they choked. And that word choke means to seize a person by the throat. To strangle them. To kill them is what it means. And that's what God says here that the thorns does to the seed of the Word of God. It just absolutely just strangles. Strangles them, you see, where the seed is not allowed to grow and mature and produce fruit, you see. That's what happens in God's people. Folks, be careful. That's exactly what happens. Not much time left when you get done with all the things of the world. You're not much time left for the Word of God. Not much time left for the things of the Lord. Could I just ask you a simple question? And you alone can answer it. How much time this past week did you give to the Lord's work? Now, in all seriousness, that's an all right question. Amen. You can answer it, and you can answer it quietly in your own heart. But how much time did you give to the Lord's work? Well, what's choked it out? Cares of the world, deceitfulness of riches, pleasures of this life. Amen. Did you do anything that was fun this week? I'm not condemning that. I'm just simply saying, did you do anything that was fun this week? Did you do anything for God this week? You understand what I'm saying? You see how it chokes it out? Amen. It just chokes out the Word of God, you see. And I notice also that these thorns work together. They're not like some Baptists sometimes. They don't work together, but they work together to choke it out. They come up all around it. There was a man yesterday. I was talking to him, Aaron. Aaron and I was out on visitation yesterday together. And he was telling us about the churches. He said, well, he said, I just don't go to church anymore. He said, I've had a couple bad experiences. He said, they just want to fight. He said, I think to myself, he said, Christians ought to get along. If anybody ought to get along, Christians ought. You know what I said? I said, amen. I agree with that 100%. But I also told him this. I said, I wouldn't let any hypocrite keep me out of heaven. Because that's basically what a man's doing. He said, well, I'm going to go to church. I'm going to hear the Word of God. because people fight there. I'm not going to let a bunch of hypocrites keep me from heaven. We need to get in the word of, we need to get in the church. It's an imperfect place, but we need to get in the church. We need to hear the word of God preached. Amen. Sure. You see, but these here, these thorns took over the place where the seed of the word of God was supposed to be growing, and he just choked it out. Now, what I want to do is I want to show you in the book of Luke, the eighth chapter of the book of Luke. I'm going to read verse number 7, and then I'm going to read verse number 14. It says, "And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up with it and choked it." Verse number 14 says, "And that which fell among thorns are they which, when they have heard, go forth and are choked with cares and riches and pleasures of this life, and bring no fruit to perfection." If you'll notice there, and it's true also in all the illustrations in the parable of the sower, they all heard the word of God. They heard it. It was all on how they received it. I would say here today, and I can't read your hearts because that's who he's talking about. He's talking to our, about our hearts. But how are you receiving the word of God today? Have you got your mind somewhere else? Is it on the cares of this world? Is it on possibly making money? Is it on the pleasures of life? What is your heart on today? And that's one of the things that's the problem, you see, that God gives us is our hearts are not listening, not open to the word of God. Okay? So I want to share with you, first of all, he said the cares. In Luke, he said, he just simply makes it simple. He said the cares, the riches, and the pleasures of this life is what chokes it out. Okay, so I want to take you over to the book of Matthew, the sixth chapter, please. Hold your place in Luke, but Matthew, the sixth chapter. Once you notice verse number 21, he says this, "For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also." I want to, for sake of time, skip down to verse number 24. "No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon." Now listen, then he begins to tell them a teaching here that's so important, because he uses the word therefore in verse 25. "I say unto you, take no thought for your life what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body what ye shall put on. Is not the life is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feed them. Are ye not much better than they? Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit unto his stature? And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow shall take thought for the thing of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof." You know what God is saying there? Is God saying to us, listen, just don't worry about going out and making a living? Of course, he's not saying that. He's not saying that whatsoever. Don't worry about it, men. Just sit home. God will take care of you. He's not saying that. He's not saying that it isn't a concern that we should see to the need as far as the clothes and the food and the things that we need in life. What he's saying is simply this. That should not be first priority. God knows you have need of that. God will provide for us. What he's saying is, you seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these other things will be added unto you. You see, God knew, and he was even warning his children about the cares of this world. There's a lot of cares that we have to look at. There's a lot out there, but he says, don't let them become first priority. No, seek you first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Let it be first. That's why he said the cares of this world simply choke out the word of God. I say to you folks, don't let the cares of this world choke out the Word of God. The seed of God, you see, is the Word of God. And God wants you to be careful about those things. Don't take thought to those. Don't give all your thought and concern over those. Seek God first. Make Him first priority in your life. And then he talks about over in 1 Timothy, the 6th chapter of 1 Timothy. 6th chapter of 1 Timothy, and of course in Luke he said, yes, the cares, and he said also the riches. Look what he says in 1 Timothy, the 6th chapter, verse number 6. But godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. And having food and raiment, let us be therewith content. But they that will be rich fall into temptations and a snare, and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some covet after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. Folks, listen, doesn't God know that you had to have a certain amount of money to live? God is not saying that you should not have that, you should not work, and you should not be provided for. God is not saying that. But he's saying don't let those riches be priority in your life. Do not so desire for more and more and more and more. And that's what God is trying to say to us. We always want more. We're never satisfied. We always want more. And you know what he says it'll do? It'll choke out the Word of God. Riches are deceitful. And let me say, they take wings and they fly away. Yes, they do. They can go so quick. But doing things for God and letting God be the priority in your life will never fly away. That's eternal. It's forever. And one more in 2 Timothy, please. The 3rd chapter of 2 Timothy. Talks about in verse 1, this know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own self, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. Let's read verse 5, having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. He gives us a whole list of things that's going to be in the last days. And let me tell you, folks, if you'll read those, they are there. Every single one of them are there. But take notice in verse 4, he says, and lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. What God said back in the book of Luke is what he said was, yes, the cares, the riches, and the lovers of pleasures of this life. Now, folks, listen to me. Pleasures can absolutely choke out the Word of God. We will be sure that all things are scheduled so that we can have pleasurable times. But we won't schedule many times so that we can be sure and be a sower of the seed of the Word of God. No, he just begins to just choke everything out. That's what happens. He's just choked it out. The seed of God cannot grow because the thorns grow up and choke it out. And that's the cares of this world. That's the riches, deceitfulness of riches. And that's the pleasures of this life. And Americans were filled with the desire and want of pleasures. Always wanting a pleasure, always wanting to do something. I read these, I get so aggravated. I really do. I read these things in the paper and they say, what can our teenagers do? Why don't we build a place for our teenagers so they'll have something to do? Send them to my house. I'll give them something to do. I'll keep them busy. All they're wanting is pleasures of this life. I got work for them. Amen. And that's what teenagers and young people ought to be doing anyway. They ought to be working and learning to work and do things like that. Yes, have a little fun. Have some enjoyment. That's fine. That ought not to be priority in life. Amen. You know what happens then? Well, the cares of this world, deceitfulness of riches, and the old pleasures of this life just choke out the Word of God. Amen. I guess I would just ask you tonight, this morning, just to look and see what it's done to you. I can't read for you. I don't know what kind of heart you got. God will read your heart. But what's it done for you? Has it choked out the seed of the Word of God? What's most important to you? And you know what it says? We just won't go back here, but in Mark, the 4th chapter, it says, they produce no fruit. This kind of soil produced no fruit whatsoever. Amen. So I'm saying to you folks, is the word of God falling on the wayward ground? Is it falling on the stony ground? Is it? Amen. All right, let's bow our heads, please. Close our eyes. Just like to ask you a question today, and you say, Pastor Ross, I believe with all of my heart, there's been a time in my life when I put my faith and trust in Jesus Christ. If I died today, I'm 100% sure that I would go to heaven. 100% sure about that. I know I've been saved. Would you just raise your hand, please, and then just put it right back down? Thank you so much. I appreciate it. You say, Pastor Ross, you know, I could not raise my hand. I'm just not sure whether I'm saved. I'm not sure whether I'm ready for heaven or not. I did not speak a whole lot about heaven this morning and about the preparation for it, but let me say something to you. If you're going to be saved, if you're going to be born again, you must come to a time in your life when you understand you're a sinner in need of salvation, that you need to know that your sin is against God and against God Almighty. That's what I had to realize. And you need to understand that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, and he died on the cross for your sins. He paid the penalty for it, and he was buried and rose again so that you might go to heaven. He loves you so much. He wants you to go to heaven. He wants you to be prepared. And you have to let the Holy Spirit of God deal with your heart and draw you to himself, realizing that, yes, that's what I am. I'm a sinner. I'm lost. And I need Christ, and I'm willing to put my faith, my trust in him. And I'm just going to believe upon his name and trust him for my salvation. You see, that's the way a person gets saved. You say, Pastor Ross, I just don't know for sure that I'm saved. I'm not sure I'm ready for heaven, but I'm concerned about it. And listen to me, I never call anybody's name out. I never point anybody out. I never do anything out. All I do is pray for you, okay? But you say, Brother Ross, I'm going to lift my hand and just say, I'm just not sure. Would you please pray for me? I won't call you by name. I won't indicate anything. Just say, I'm concerned about my soul salvation. Would you just raise your hand, please? And then you can put it right back down. Say, Brother Ross, as you preach the word of God today concerning these cares and the riches and the pleasures of life and how they spring up and they grow up and they take over, that's happened to me. That's what's going on in my life. And I'm not really allowing the word of God to take root in my life. And I need to. You say, Brother Ross, will you just pray for me? I need to get things straight. Would you just lift your hand, please? God bless you. Thank you. Someone, yes, God bless you. Thank you. Someone else, please. No cares of this world, riches, deceitfulness, riches, pleasures of life become more important. And it chokes out the word of God. Anyone else, please? As we pray, Father, thank you again today for your grace, your goodness, your kindness to us. I thank you for the precious Bible, the Word of God. So once again, I ask you, Lord, to allow the Word to deal in our hearts and work in our hearts, Lord, in such a way that, Lord, it would be able to fall on good ground. And, Father, that it would produce fruit like you want it to. So I just pray today, whatever the condition of the heart, Lord, help us to soften our hearts towards you and the reception of the Word of God in our life. Now you do what you need to do, Father, in each of our lives and in our hearts this day. We'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.